Good morning. C'est bonsoir. Thank you, Brother Sammy, for trusting me as a scripture reference. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 13 and then Acts chapter 14, and I'll be preaching out of the last few verses of Acts 14, actually as a springboard. But what I have in mind, the first part of our time together is a report to you and accountability to you for what you share, the money that you give us to carry on the gospel ministry. The word missions, missionary, mission work, is not in the scripture, old or new. The ministry is there and the ministers are there, but the office is not. And I conclude from that, I could call up some pretty good backup there, but Charles Spurgeon is one of them. Mission work, as we know from the scripture, is out from the church and back to the church. And Brother Sammy, being a church man, I appreciate that. And so I want to be responsible to you, accountable to God for sure, but then responsible to you. Acts chapter 13, verse 1, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. We're talking about that this morning. Sometimes we miss it. All the people weren't back behind the bushes. The gospel was not done in a corner. Right. And it went on out. A lot of people in influential places were Christians. Verse 2, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. It wasn't qualifying them by that. They was joining with them. Chapter 14, verse 26. And from thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode a long time with the disciples. And having been with the Burns and Sister Jolene's ministry in the home, we could stay there a long time. I could make this verse actually literal. Let me begin with, we made two trips already this year. First to the Central Mountains of Jamaica, and if it seems like in some of the things I share, that you have been there and it seems unreal to you, I can illustrate. Suppose a preacher came to Mississippi and came to Jackson. They picked him up at the airport, carried him to the hotel, and then they'd go by and pick him up, take him to the place where the church met, and then take him back to the hotel, and he'd eat there. And he went home. And then a fella comes, drives into Columbus, and enjoys a good hospitality of the pastor, and then meets with the saints, and eats their good down home, good cooking, and has the fellowship with them, hobnobbing, I call it. And then take those two preachers somewhere and let them give their account of coming to Mississippi, and you got two separate stories. So some of these things, there's pictures over here somewhere. Maybe they're circulating. Okay, the pictures are here. And if you see things there, and you've been to Jamaica, you see things there that you didn't see, I recommend you don't go there up in there by yourself. Find some good, solid, stable Christian people and get with them, and you can see the outback. You can see the interior. There are no original inhabitants of the island of Jamaica. The Spaniards was going to make them slaves, and they wouldn't be good slaves, so they began to exterminate them. The Swifter escaped and got back in the Central Mountains in what's called Maroon Country. They were marooned back in there. They didn't show their face out of there. And then they brought some Africans in, and the Swifter of them escaped and went back in those Central Mountains, and they mixed. And rarely, seldom, there's a picture in here of some that are descendants of those Indians, direct descendants, and they have tried not to mix too much. So that's the population you have. And actually, they're not dangerous. They're not fierce, violent people. You just can't push them around. And I like that in a people. Be your own thinker. Don't let people push you around and blow you around with false doctrine and wild doctrine. All right, the airfare, and this is all the taxes and service fees and airport fees and all, and the reason it's so low, the sister that owns the company is our taking us on as her personal ministry. $661.74. Motel in Monroe, Louisiana, 9638. Breakfast in Atlanta, Georgia, $3.47. And let me recommend you carry a little bottle of water and peanut butter crackers or something. Don't sit out to eat in the airport. You won't hardly get anything for less than, that's just a nibble there, almost $5. On the return home, the brother and I bought both of our supper, and we were high rollers, $11.67 in Atlanta, Georgia. Total spent on the trip for transport and fuel, and this includes helps for different things, $3,550. That's Jamaica currency, and it is to one. U.S., $380. Accommodations, the Jamaican currency, $1,100. U.S. currency, $200. Contributions to churches, Douglas Castle, $6,000. Cali, $6,000. Arthur Seat, $500. Total ownership, $1,373.18 U.S. currency. That was to the Central Mountains of Jamaica. And now for the place where Brother Sammy first got charmed about, in the Lesser Antilles, the island of Dominica. We've been on 11 of those greater and lesser Antilles, but our heart really we left part of our heart on the little island of Dominica, just off the coast of Venezuela, out in the edge of the Atlantic. Total ticket, transport expenses, taxes, environmental taxes, boy, they can stack them up on you. $975.40. Accommodations, that's motels, going and coming, and guest houses, this is all U.S., $752.80. Transport, including a taxi in San Juan, including two tires and a battery for two separate vehicles for the brethren there. I put that in for transportation in my mission board. Not only all for it, they encourage me to do that while we're there. Those brothers really, really do their part. $841.13. Contributions to churches, and this includes the price of registering a piece of property in the name of the church to the Carib Indians. And I hope they have done that. They will have their dedication service this morning if they have closed the deal. Contributions, $5,000. Expense for a conference, and the brothers did have the conference. Brother Sam and I talked about it. Brother Eddie Brunson had been with us, and he vacillated on whether to go back or not, and then wisely decided not to go back. He had a heart attack while he was gone. My wife decided not to go. She had some kind of virus, and she got near hospital stages while I was gone, so I was sure glad they didn't go, but I really wanted Brother Sammy to go because the pastors were talking about a conference, and they set it up. And I said, I wish Brother Sammy would have went. And Jewel said, you've been going how many years and how many conferences have you had? So I bore the responsibility of that. But when they said to me, you know, we can have some speakers, and so I began to appoint them, the Carib Indian brother and the other brother, and then I wound it up. But I spent this on the conference. $183.33. Part of that was for renting chairs and attending to things, to get things ready for us to go. I even splurged and bought a big box of bottled water. They thought that was something. When I was a kid in Arkansas, I never thought I'd be buying water either, but I do. I ran through that pretty quickly. But is there any question on the expenses part? If it is, you can ask me later, or ask Brother Sammy and Miss Jolynn, and they'll get the question to me. I wrote letters. I handled this differently because I was going by myself, and I really wanted to let the responsibility be on the brothers there. So I wrote letters to the ones that we had worked with and had assisted in the beginnings, told them I was coming, and asked them to, or wrote to them to contact Brother Perseus Thomas. He would handle our scheduling, and I like it like that. I mean, it's worked out so good. And he called me and he said I had to stay longer. And I said, but I can't. It's already set. And your government won't allow me. I mean, you got to declare when you're going in. You got to take your ticket. Why? Maybe I could. Why? And he said, well, I've run out of time. The brethren had been responding, and others were hearing about it. And altogether, in our time there, the Lord opened up the door to me to preach in 9 churches. And I was glad my wife wasn't with me, ailing already. That's a pretty grueling assignment. And to begin with, I had hoped one of my old friends from DeKalb, Mississippi, had been here, Brother John Burks, and incidentally, he'd heard of y'all. So your faith is noised abroad down to DeKalb. But to quote him and an old friend of mine, Jesse Norris, and I'm at that age now. That trip's really hard on old bodies. And to add to that, the Lord opened door for an assembly, a church that I had never been in. An old friend of mine was saved and was a part of that church long years ago. And this time, for the first time since 1974, I've been going in that part of the world. One of the churches gave me an offering. I had resisted it this long, but I accepted it, and we handled that. We were able to preach the wonderful Word of God, and our heart was to go back in and be with the CARE brothers and sisters and get this money to them to register a piece of property in the name of the church. And at the service, I gave the pastor the check, and he was looking for some other papers. If you're going to do mission work, you got to keep a string attached to it, right? No. You brethren and other brethren had given from your heart to the work of God. I felt impressed, moved of God. The Lord was more than for it. And we gave the money to them to register a piece of property in the name of the church, not some mission organization. We didn't want any religious authority over them. The brethren there understand the phrase. I used it long years ago. A lot of so-called mission work really is religious colonialism. Just go in to colonize them and Americanize them, and they're still not independent, autonomous church families. And they were just shocked, Brother Joey. And the brothers, what? No agreements? And I said, yeah, I agree with you. Serve God with it. Glorify God with it. Amen. Buy a piece of property. And put a building there. Your mama's house is getting too little.
Amen.
Any question? I can ramble on and on and on. You don't have to say amen, Miss Jill, so loud. And if you think I do, get her started. No questions. No comments. See my papers over there. In that book. I thought I stuck it in my Bible. It says, God must open doors. Oh. I hope I didn't. Oh, here it is. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, a faithful, dutiful wife. Thank God for you. I don't want to spring off of me if there's no question. I know you're interested because you give.
Yes.
And I know you're interested because you urging your pastor and praying for your pastor. And keep praying for him that the Lord will give him direction. A good friend of mine, Brother Wyman Steptoe, really praying about going. And we were out there in a Hispanic church not long ago and had a baptism service. Thank God for saving people.
Amen.
But he said, well, I want to go with you, but I sure don't want to go with you out of the will of God. And I said, well, of course not. I don't want you with me out of the will of God. May wind up like the black brother. The farmer wanted him to go on a little flight with him in a plane. He said, oh, I ain't going. He said, well, I thought you was a Christian. He said, yes, sir. He said, I thought you didn't think you could die before your time. That's right. He said, but suppose we get way off up there and it come your time to die. Talking to the pilot. And I urged him, and I am 100% agreement with you, pastor. Don't go till you settle this the Lord's will. And then it'll be good, and you can weather the storm.
Yes.
There will be complications. Adversaries are all along the way. I think I've said this before to you, Brother Sammy, but let's go on a trip with Apostle Paul. Wouldn't that be exciting?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And so we get there and get everything packed and ready and prayed up, and we can't go. We're going to Asia Minor, right?
Yeah.
Can't go. Well, he's still going, and I really want to go with him. And I say to go to Bithynia. That's an old English word. We don't use it in South Arkansas, but we would say they did their dead level best. They going to Bithynia. That's the Orient. They wanted to go back there, out in there. No. I don't know if I want to go with this guy. Two strikes already, and we hadn't even got completely packed. And then they heard the Macedonian call, come over and help us. So just keep praying, brother. When it's God's good time, let me know. And I don't really think you'd want to go on the next trip because it is going to be a buzz if the Lord does it the way I'm really praying. So I probably will go again by myself because I can take a backpack and what's that little Pop-Tart breakfast thing and some peanut butter crackers, and I can make it days. Get my wife to tell you about when we're out with the Carib Indians. She's got a wonderful story to tell. All right, let me preach a little bit out of here. And I want to spring off from Acts chapter 14 and the very last, verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Thank you, Brother Sam, for praying. I know you're praying, folks, and I'm acutely aware of my need for the Holy Spirit to be the teacher. But I want to come off of this. The Lord opened the door of faith. And I want to share three things with you. God must open doors. You say, well, we can talk to anybody. I know that, but we're talking about getting the gospel to God's elect and they be saved. And the church fasted and sent them out in prayer, and they went out telling the world about the God that took dust and made a man had formed a body in a virgin's womb. And he was born. It was God manifest in the flesh. This is an old comfortable hat to us, but imagine going out into a world that has never heard it. Mm-hmm. Telling them the wonderful gospel message, gospel story. Now, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, but Brother Sam, it's not the power of the preacher.
Right.
And the gospel is not the power of the people. It is not a powerful program. It is the power of God.
Right.
They go out with that, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. Acts chapter 13, verse 48. So we have this assurance, we have a confidence as we go with the gospel message of Christ, making it clear and plain. Those that are ordained to eternal life will believe.
Amen.
And we don't have to crank a decision out of them, just tell them the wonderful story. And one sows, another waters, and God gives the increase. And that's what they've done. They come back and report to the church. Now, I know I have shared these requests with you in person and then by way. Through your pastor. Listen to these requests from the man of God. Romans 15:30. Strive together with me in your prayers to God. Now the first thing I'm going to say is I am asking you by way of message, pray for me that God would open doors unto us. 2 Corinthians 1:11. Ye also helping together by prayer for us. Philippians 1:19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now I pray then, and we'll see in this little brief exhortation Bible study, the need for you to pray for us. Not only the need, but the absolute must, if we will see and experience the power of God in our ministry, we must pray. Now we can go, but we're not going out to win friends and influence people to Christian philosophy, but tell them about the risen Savior. And encourage saints with the message of God, His Son, Jesus Christ. God hath chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. Now, God does and will open doors. First point, for those of you that I can make points with, God does and will open doors to us. God did, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Now, you don't have to write it down. If you'd like to have it, you can have this. I've got it in the computer now. 1 Corinthians 6:8 and 9, but I'll tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. God does. 2 Corinthians 2:12, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was open unto me of the Lord. God must. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, 3, and 4. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now that's in the parable of what we call the sower, and I called it the parable of the sower and the hearer. And the one that was born of God's Spirit was those that heard and understood. Now people are moved upon and baptized that didn't hear to understand. That's in Acts chapter 19. They received water baptism, but they didn't understand what John was saying, so the Apostle Paul made it clear and plain to those, Acts chapter 19. He tells them, John indeed baptized unto repentance, saying, and here comes the gospel message. So pray for me that God would open doors of utterance for me, and that I may speak it plainly as I ought to speak. Now, this apostle that I'm referring to you about in these scriptures, he knew this. God came to him, the person of Jesus Christ, carried on a dialogue with him in his conversion experience. And so in Acts chapter 26, he's sharing his testimony with King Agrippa, and he and Paul said, and I said, and he's quoting from his conversion in Acts chapter 9, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which will I appear unto thee." Still in Acts 26, "delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Christ speaking to Paul. Now, this man knew that. Yet he was extremely interested in the saints praying for him. Over and over and over in the epistles comes this requirement that they do this. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray that God will open the door of utterance. Pray that I'll make it plain. And Christ had already given him a personal assurance. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to do it. And yet he still asked them to pray. And I'm urging you by way of messages, really exhortation. Pray for us. Listen to me. I cannot overemphasize this prayer request for Jewel and I. Pray for us that God would open doors. We have invites to go to several different places. Got an open invite to come to the Ukraine now from a personal friend that we have worked together before. And I'd love to go. I just can't get any clear direction from the Holy Spirit. So pray with us that God would open doors. Now, as I yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ in this ministry years ago, didn't know what it was going to develop into. I'd probably have fainted if I could have seen what God has done. 39, bear with me in my folly, 39 states, Canada, Mexico, 11 other points of interest in the nations, and the greater and lesser Antilles. That's not bad for country hick from South Arkansas, but it's the work of God.
Yes.
This is what God gave me as I yielded to Him. "These things saith he that is holy and he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can close it."
Amen.
That's a partial of Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. And how I needed that, because my own pastor tried to stymie and stifle my ministry, and no man could close that door.
Amen.
We had purposed to make another trip, another sojourn, but God shut that door and opened this door. We had another time, and the Lord moved the brother Josue Contreras' heart. He called us to come and to preach for them, and I had another time set to make a specific journey. And I went to the VA hospital in Little Rock, and my doctor, Dr. Crystal Strickland, was quizzing me about Christianity. When I went in there, I had my heart open. All I needed was the go-ahead from the Spirit to open my mouth. And it did come out. And I told her, I said, "Listen, I know you on that side, but I'm on this side. I'm not on the government payroll. I can talk about my Savior, Jesus Christ." She said, "I can't." So we had a big visit. When we went back out, went to the fella at the scheduling thing, she said, "When Brother Carter comes back, assign him to me." Went back. She began to ask stiff questions. Real, real good. I told Brother Sammy the kind of questions that a pastor will ask me when he's considering having me come for the first time to preach. But other than that, she asked questions like, There's two times in the New Testament that the women are commanded to keep silent in the churches. How do you interpret that to preach it? Well, there's a stiff question. I told her then, I said, oh, I thought she was going to ask me a hard question. That's not a hard one. I just take the scripture for what it says, and that's easy. Only those two times. Anyway, I went in the other day, and she said, my daddy's going to call you. My daddy's a pastor. It's a black people's church up north of Little Rock. And she said, but he told me to see if you can come the last Sunday in July. Yeah, I'm telling you, God opens doors.
Yes.
And I went in there. I just want to share my faith in Christ and my Savior with the doctor. We like to do that. Any of them. I especially like to share it with people from other countries. They may not have heard the plain, the simplicity that's in Christ. It's not hard for me to keep it like that. That's who I'm is. But I'm illustrating by way of testimony. I need you to pray.
Yes.
I know what God did. I know what He spoke to me. I have never doubted it. God promised me He'd open doors. And it never ceases to amaze me how God does that. So pray for me. And secondly, I pray and ask you to pray for me that God would open mouths. Just one scripture on this one, Acts chapter 16. That comes out of there, verse 18 through 20. For those of you that are quick, you can get your swords ready. Sword drill this morning. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that utterance may be given unto me, that utterance may be given unto me. I am emphasizing it, rereading it, let you see. This man knew his need for God to do this for him, and he's asking the saints to pray for him to that end, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, incidentally, kind of on the side here, for you saints, it's a command from Christ. It comes by way through the disciples unto the saints. Listen to this from Christ Himself in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Can you hear me this morning?
Yes.
Pray for me.
Yes.
That God would open doors and that God would open our mouth. Thirdly, God does and must open hearts. Luke 24, but their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. Now, listen to me. Can't we see that they can't see? And don't get proud and bigoted and haughty because you see some wonderful truth. It's God that opens understanding.
Amen.
It's God that opens eyes. It's God that opens heart. And He opened their eyes were opened and they knew Him and He vanished out of their sight. Later He came back and said, then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scripture. Acts 14:27, our text, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Acts 16:14, one of my favorites. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple and of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. Listen to this, people. A direct quote from the Bible, whose heart the Lord opened that she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul.
Yes.
Do you know what God uses? His people.
Yes.
Now the Spirit says, come. And the bride says, come. Now what does the Spirit and the bride use? The Word of God. And we pray that God would open hearts and open understanding. I don't mind talking to anybody. But I have matured to the place of Apostle Paul, and to two separate churches he asked for this, makes this a prayer request. Pray for me, that I be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. One in Corinthians 15 and one in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. That I might be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men, because not all men have faith.
Right.
That will not stymie true evangelism and true mission work. No, just contrarywise, He puts a fire in our heart that can't be put out.
Amen.
The next person that we pass by may be one of other sheep, not of this fold.
Right.
Maybe one of God's elect, one of the bride that He gave His Son before the foundation of the world. And it'd be our awkward joy and privilege to share with them.
Amen.
He said, well, I can't do that. But let me just say it to you like this. Gossip the gospel. You gossip about a lot of other stuff. Gossip the gospel. If you're a saint, you got something to say.
Yeah.
And this is what the Bible, way the Bible reads. And the Spirit and the bride, they come.
Yes.
And we can talk to people about our Lord that we know. We can share with them things that God has done with us. Okay. Lastly, pray for me. Why is this so serious? Listen to this out of Revelation chapter 5. Christ opens the book of the seven seals because no man is worthy. And he saw, he looked, and a lion was there. The lion of Judah, but when he looked, it was the Lamb of God.
Right.
And he opened the book, verse 8, and when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now chapter 8, listen to what's done with those prayers. Chapter 8, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given to him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers. Now before your eschatology gets in the way of my preaching, look at this phrase. For of all the saints.
Yeah.
No one's excluded. Right. From this wonderful Bible picture here.
Right.
Upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Verse 4. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it to the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes. Notice what happens with the prayers of all the saints.
Mm-hmm.
It's burned there on that altar, and it goes up to God as a sweet smell to his holy nostrils.
Yes.
And the angel dipped into that and cast it down to the earth. And God is answering the prayers of his little children.
Amen.
God delights in the prayers of the righteous. I read that in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you worry, saint. Every time you whimper or just whine to God, he takes a notice.
Yes.
And he will answer it according to his sovereign will. And you say, well, what about that prayer? I didn't know what to pray for as I ought. That one's okay too. Just pray.
Yes.
Out of your infirm flesh, just pray. Because likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, and that prayer that we did not know how to word is taken by the Spirit of God. And when it gets before the throne of God, this is the way the Bible reads. Romans chapter 8. Some of our favorite scriptures. It gets there according to the will of God.
Yes.
For we know that all things work together for good. It comes right out of that infirm praying. God's going to work good, and you don't have to know how to say it.
Right.
Boy, we have really clabbered up our prayer life in this space age goofball generation. We have been preached to by preachers preaching themselves and promoting their faith, and we have faith in our faith and faith in our praying, and we think we have to tell God what to do and when to do it and how to do it. That ain't real praying. You don't even know have to know how to say it, sweet people.
Yes.
Just pray.
Right.
Talk to God about it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be all right. It'll come out according to His sovereign will. Involve yourself in that.
Yes.
Now, another book's open. The devil deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I'm in Revelation chapter 20. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Now, sad to say to you this morning, that's what most people think they want.
Yeah.
Most people really think they want to get judged according to their works. And this is their feeble, futile, damnable error. I'll do enough good works to tip the scales and outweigh my bad works and get to get on and go on in. Don't think that. No, your works don't get you in. These people are judged according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. I like to share this with the people, so-called Jehovah's Witness. This is the second death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The second death in the lake of fire. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, I'm closing with this. God's going to open. And He opened. The books are open. And hearts are open. Listen. The door of hell is open. The mouth of sinners is open. And their heart is open. And they tell on themselves. Hey, many of them say this to our Lord in judgment. Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? We cast out devils, done many wonderful works. And He says to them, depart from Me, you workers of iniquity. And here it comes. This is serious. I never knew you. So I recommend you get to know Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Cast yourself on Him. Cast yourself on on His mercy. Do you hear? Have you heard to understand? That's a starting place. You understand? You're a sinner. You'll die in your sins and be cast into the lake of fire. It's not an option here. You'll stand before Him and give an account. You will bow your knee. The books are open. You'll be judged according to your works from God's books. Your mouth will open and you'll say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Be cast into the lake of fire.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be glorified if you go to heaven. He'll be glorified if you go to hell.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He'll be glorified. I'm closing with the emphasis here. Pray for us, saints, pray for us. Sinner, you must seek Christ in repentance. They went out and with great power, I looked it up again this morning to make sure, it's in Acts chapter 20, verse 21. This was their message. Repentance toward God. Faith toward Jesus Christ. That's all you need to know. The three imperatives are there at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. They railed on Him and challenged Him if. And then one of them had his understanding open. And he makes this statement. Get this picture now. Three men dying on the cross. One of them's a little Jew man. The other two, we don't know. They're just sinners. One of them's understanding is open. We know he's not a Roman citizen because I read pretty well documented that the Romans didn't kill their citizens that way. And he says to one of them, the thief says to the other one, what are you doing? We're getting what we deserve. He has done nothing amiss. I'm the sinner. He's the perfect sacrifice. And then the plea, Lord, when you get into your kingdom, remember me. And what did our Lord say to that? Sinner, thief, dying. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, there's one, what I call deathbed salvation experience in the Bible. One, to give us hope. But only one to keep you from putting it off with a false assurance and security. You'll do it when you get old, when you get ready to die. I have a tape made by a fellow that was at the time was on the plane was at the time was the worst jumbo jet crash in history. One jumbo jet went out and had problems and came back and landed on top of another. Both of them full of fuel and passengers. And this man in his testimony on the tape, he said, up to that point in time, I thought that surely when a man's dying, he'll call out to God. But he said, I saw people whose flesh was on fire and the oil of their bodies shooting out fire from them, blaspheming God, cursing God, and dying, burning up and going to the flames of hell and the lake of fire. So don't put it off and bullhead and stiff neck against God. You might still be cursing Him and mocking Him when you die. If your understanding's been open to this truth, flee to Christ. Save yourself from this wicked generation.
Amen.
Flee from the wrath to come. But my prayer for you this morning is, pray for us, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. That doesn't need any comment. Let's bow our heads.